verse 41 to 46, Luke 2, verse 41 to 46. It's the story about Joseph and Mary that went to Jerusalem at Passover. And we read from verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind them in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went the day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. This part of the scripture is one of those parts which always acts as a reminder for me that it's possible this morning to think that you're walking with Jesus, but you've lost him along the way. Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, the ones that were supposed to look after him, the ones that were supposed to know him the best after all. You would think that a mother wouldn't happen to a mother. Sorry. But yet they lost him along the way. You ask me, how is it possible that you can carry on for a day walking and forget about your child? The scripture tells us that it's possible as a child of God, and I'm talking to us as children of God this morning, that we can think or we assume, suppose as with Mary and Joseph, that we have his spirit still with us, but we've lost him along the way. And there's different kinds of presence we talk about. You would say to me probably this morning, but yes, but God is everywhere. He is everywhere. But that's his almighty presence, wherever he is. We have to distinguish this morning that there's different kinds of presences, two types of presence of God. The one is the one that David talks about, his almighty presence in Psalm 139, that he says, wherever I go, you are there. And you can read it for yourself. But the one I want to talk to you this morning is his manifesting presence. That presence that you and me experience sometimes at church or sometimes at home. When I have time with the Lord, when I close my door, or even sometimes when God just turns up in my life and I know that I had an encounter with the living God. I promise you it's not how much I read Bible. It's not how much I pray, but it's those encounters that change my life. I can read scripture, and we need to do that. And I can spend time in the Word, and we need to know that. But if I haven't got the Spirit of God, if I haven't got the presence of God, there's a kind of emptiness. There's something missing in this whole thing. Because you see, when I just know the scripture, I read the scripture, pray, I can so easily become legalistic. I can so easily, without the presence of God, turn that into something that eventually will cause my own spiritual death instead of bringing life. And the word manifest, if we look it up in the dictionary, it defines it as something that's obvious, that is readily perceived. So when God comes to you in other ways and he manifests himself tangibly, it is so that me and you would know he's near, he's here. Draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto us. James 4, he says. And we know that scripture, where we use it in Revelation 3, and it's often been used when we reach out in evangelistic way, but actually he's talking about when he says, behold, I'm knocking at the door. If you hear my voice, open up, and I will come in and dine with you. He's talking to Christians there. He's not talking to the world there. He's talking to you and me. That it's possible this morning to sit in church with closed doors. It's possible to spend time with God without opening that door and allowing his spirit, allowing him to infiltrate, allowing him just to be in his presence. I can, and if you experienced that this before, you'll know this morning that if you've been in the presence of God, that's just, it's indescribable. I cannot express to you this morning. It's something in the spirit that you need to catch. Sorry. It's something in the spirit that we need to catch. It's something in our spiritual senses that we pick up when we've been in the presence. Yet, one encounter in God, with God, is enough to let us run like with Elijah when he ate the bread and he ran for 40 days. One word of God, one rhema word, one logos, one word with God is enough to feed your spirit for months. Not that we should make or get into the habit of getting one word and then run for months. I know many of us. When is the last time God spoke to you? No, in 2007, God told me, you know. Yes, but what did God tell you lately? Are you still hungry? Are you excited? Are you looking forward to hear His voice? Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm still, whenever God talks to me, I'm so excited. I'm like, oh God, you just spoke to me. God, you just chose to speak with me. I know there's so many children, but Lord, you just took time just to say something to me, something special. Maybe it's not something for the world, but it's just something, I love you, you're special. Whatever it might be, but you knew that you heard His voice, and that was such a great moment. You see, right from the beginning, God intended it for us to walk with Him. Adam and Eve had that. They were walking with God in the Garden of Eden, day to day. Can you think that Adam named all the animals? Sure, the capacity he had. He had to tap into God and say, Lord, what should I call this one? This one looks funny with this long trunk. What should I call that one? The elephant. Huh? That one with the long neck and the dots on it. Lord, what should I call that one? Huh? Can you imagine the kind of conversations they must have had? Because Adam named the animals as we know it today. But even more than that, they were walking with God in the evening, during the day, continuously being in the presence of God at one stage until we know that the fall came and sin entered and the whole relationship was broken down up to today. And we thank you, Jesus, for the cross that's there. But it's not possible. It's possible to have communion. Hear me out on this morning. We'll not have the fullness of that, complete fullness until Jesus returns, that complete fullness of intimacy and His presence. Yet we still need to pursue that daily, to push in. Say, Lord, I'm not satisfied with reading the Word. I'm not just satisfied with praying. I'm not just satisfied coming to church. I'm only satisfied when I've experienced Your presence. When I've been in Your presence, I've read Your Word. And it wasn't that just another daily devotion that I read or another piece of scripture just before I go to bed so that I can just feel better about myself. It's because I seek Your presence. It's because I really want to hear what You want to say. In Psalm 16 verse 11, David says, You will show me the path of life, and Your presence is fullness of joy. Friends, when we enter into the presence of God, it's not just a fullness of joy, but there's a fullness of everything. That's when we, and I really lack words this morning to describe, and really trust that God will extend that this morning to bring that across to you, that when we enter into the presence of God, that fullness that we can experience, that we experience nowhere else. You know, the Bible talks about Enoch, a man of God. And the only words or the only thing we know about Enoch is that he walked with God. He walked with God. That's all the Bible says. Enoch was there and he wasn't there anymore. That's what the Bible says. I can just see through my spiritual eyes that God desired to be so much closer to Enoch because Enoch pursued God. He pursued Him daily. He was walking with Him daily until the place that God said, I cannot keep this any longer. This desire, this intimate desire to be with Him. And Enoch was there and he wasn't there anymore. God just came and He took him to be with Him. May that be, as I was singing this morning at the beginning of the account service, I was just seeing this picture in my mind. One day on my tomb, or on the stone, or what's that word that, Carol, help me here this morning. Tombstone. What's that? Yes. May that be the words on that. Mark walked with God. Just that. I know we say all these other things. Beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. May that be that our testimony is that we walked with God in the sense that we walked closely with Him, intimately with Him, not just knowing about Him. There's a lot of people out there in the world that will tell you, no, I grew up in the church, I know Him, my parents taught me, all of those things. We've heard all the answers. But there's a difference between somebody that's walking closely to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can sense it the moment I enter into somebody's presence that's walking with God. The Bible talks about the smell, that they smell fresh. I'm talking about a spiritual way. You smell the freshness of that bread, the fresh bread that God gives daily, that fresh word. You smell that they've been in the presence. There's something different the way they talk. There's something different just being in their presence. And it's this kind of thing when we get into God's presence, it drops off on us. Moses entered into God's presence onto a place where the glory of God was so strong that people couldn't look at him. And the same with us. When we are in the presence of God, there's no sermon this morning that can do what the presence of God can do in your life. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, my friend. But if you've been in the presence of God, that will change your life forever. If we make that our aim to daily pursue that, I can promise you, life will be so much different. The Lord said, or the Bible says in Exodus 33, He said, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, this is the Lord talking to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said, and this is Moses, listen to what Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. My friend, Moses realized the strength, the value of walking daily with God in His presence. Not just walking a normal Christian life, but walking in the presence. He came to such a place where he said, Lord, if your presence is not going with us, we'll stay here. Because I know how empty, how hard, how difficult the world can become without your presence. How dry. I'm like Paul said in Corinthians, I'm like that cymbal that's just making a noise. No love, because your presence brings that love to consume me. And that made them a peculiar people. That made them different. The fact, not the fact that they were called Jews, the fact that God's presence was with them. That's the only thing that made them different between them and the rest of the nations. And you know, when Moses sought God, he had to enter through fervent prayer and seek Him. There's several times I remember later on we read in the Bible at one stage that the people were standing in front of Moses and they said to Moses, you talk to God and then we'll listen. You see, they didn't have that desire to enter into that place. We'll just listen. Just find out from God what we need to hear. We don't want to go through all that rituals. We don't want to push through those barriers to get into that intimate place. Just do the work, find out, and we'll just do that, whatever you say. But I've got news this morning for you. God wants all of us to pursue Him in such a way that we push through that barrier of the norm that the world gives us. Tell us, it's okay if you're just an average Christian. Don't go way out. Don't be too much. You know, the world will think you're imbalanced. But God says, I desire that intimate relationship with you. I want you to be in love with me. That you cannot stop talking about that. And we know how it is when we are in love. The beginning. We talk about that. We let the world know about our feelings, our expressions. Can you remember? I used the same example in the first service. When you were just in love the first time. You couldn't wait to be in the presence of that person. And if you're in that presence, that's enough for you. You don't have to talk to one another. It's just, we're just here. Huh? You know that conversations on the telephone that can take hours? Because if we can just hear each other breathing, that's enough for us, you know. And we'll just yes and no every now and then. And And you wonder why, the kind of conversations you have. But it's meant to be like that, to be in love like that. The same with our relationship with God. There's sometimes where we can just come into His presence with the right heart and say, God, I don't want anything today. Lord, we are programmed like that we have to ask God. And He said, He's got it in His word, you know, ask and I'll give and all. And many of us, our prayer consists of the asking part. We get that one right. We get the one where we become a bit more spiritual and we understand this whole thing of praying God's will into existence. So we believe it's our duty every morning to get up and just pray everything in existence. If we don't, or if we get to pray about that, the world will collapse because I, as a Christian, didn't do my job. Thank God He's still God. And I'm just human and I sometimes fall short. Thank God for grace. I tell you, there's times when God wants us just to come into His presence. Sit down. Just enjoy my presence. Sit down here. Just allow my spirit to minister to you. Don't say anything. Just receive this morning. Just receive my love. Just understand. Just perceive. Let my spirit communicate to you this morning. Let it not be in words, but let spirit meet with spirit this morning to communicate with you with the depth, the height of my love. Just to receive that. It's like, oh, it's one of those moments probably I cannot express that in words right now. But God, I know. I know I've been in Your presence. I don't know how to describe it to the world. But God, I love this. I love these moments like these. I love these moments and I'm just in Your presence. And I feel like the world is, everything is dark out there. But right now, in the middle of this, there's light in this middle, in the presence of You. I feel so, when You say in Your word, Matthew 29, when Jesus comes and said, take My yoke upon You, because it's easy, it's light, Lord. It's one of those moments when I just take up Your yoke right now, Lord, because I know when I go out there in the world, it might look different. And Lord, You called me to be out there, but Lord, right now I'm just here. I'm just enjoying this moment. And I know as charismatics, many times we tend to fall in the other side of the ditch. You know, we say, okay, we seek God's presence and we seek those holy moments and we get those moments, but then we get up and we do still the same things. And it's not seeking God's presence and just laying down in God's presence, but it's what you do when you get out of that presence. Because God comes, He transforms you in that moment. And it's what we do with what is happening in the presence of God. Because we can become those, how do they call it, soakers. We soak in God's presence. And it's great, and we can, but it's that transformation that takes place in the presence of God that no human man can do. We can preach, we can use our gifting. And I said it as well, you know, I've tasted that, I've seen it in my own life personally, that we can have gifting as much as we have and be gifted as we think we are. But without the presence of God in my life, I'm just empty, nothing. Friends, I've personally tasted that. I've personally experienced that, how it feels without His presence. Having the gifts, but when the world becomes blind and you're at the lonely place, and God says, I close the eyes of the world, of those around you, so that you run back to Me at a place where you know that God, it doesn't matter this morning how gifted I am. It doesn't matter. And we need to pray for the sick and we need to cast out the demons. But it starts here at my heart. Get back to that place where you understand my heart. And if we understand who we are without Him, I promise you God can use you mightily with gifting and all of those things, the gifts. Because He understands that it's not my gifting that makes me peculiar or different this morning. That's anyway been given to me or to you this morning. It's God's presence that changed me. It's God's presence that I'm walking with. And when I enter into a place, I'm entering with God's presence into this room. I'm bringing God's presence. And we should see that as we walk into the world. Think, God, I'm bringing Your presence into this world. Light is coming into this dark world because I'm carrying Your presence. I'm pursuing that daily. I've been in Your presence. When we're in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I rejoice with those who say to Me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now I know there's many of us, we struggle with that one. David said, let us go to the house. Let us go to church. Hey, it's 8 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to church. No, no, no. We're sometimes struggling with that one, eh? Oh, I'll sleep a bit. kabeljou loop vandag. Paltjies, die vis loop. We had the children were difficult last night. Why do we have that when we think about church like that? It's because we're not pursuing His presence. We're coming here for another service or something we do as a habit of doing on a Sunday. We come here to listen to a sermon, sing a song, see a few friends, drink coffee, and then we go. But I promise you, if we tune or change our mindset and say, God, I'm here to seek Your presence. God, it just might just be. And you know what the beautiful thing about this all is? That God's presence and the way He manifests Himself, the way He come across, the way He communicate with me, is never the same. Every time He surprised me in a different way. He comes, and if I'm not tuned in, where I've missed Him many times, I might miss Him. But when He talks to me, and that's why I think it's still, I don't think there's books out there, many, many of them, how God can talk to you, how do you hear God's voice. None of them, I think, can perfectly tell you how to hear His voice. It's something that you have to train. It's something you have to, you do it by just, as you swim, you just jump in the stream and say, God, I want to hear You. I want to commune with You. The books can give us principles, but I promise you, if we study all those books and we try apply that, we limit God immediately. We put Him in the box and say, God, You need to talk to me this way. If You don't do, probably it's not You. God comes outside that perimeters of that we have. In sometimes when we have our own perimeters of how we perceive God, and He comes outside that, He surprises us. There's something about God that I enjoy, and that's the surprising factor. I don't know about you people. Many times I've come to intercession on a Tuesday morning. I didn't come, my spiritual senses are tuned in to hear His voice. But I didn't expect Him to manifest Himself in such a way. And then suddenly He says something, and I'm like, God, I'm amazed. I'm amazed You dance over me. I'm amazed what You just said. I'm amazed with what You're showing us, the direction, where You're going. There is strength in His presence. David wrote in Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength and my portion forever. And we know sometimes you get to places where it's just so dark around you in the world. The storm is raging high. You feel oppressed. You feel, God, will sunshine ever again? I felt like that. I promise you, when I enter into God's presence, it's a lighter yoke that I'm carrying. At that moment, suddenly God has just strengthened me. He's bringing me to a place where I just say, God, I can. I can do, I can say, like Paul said, I do all things for Christ Jesus who strengthens me. But I can only find that. I can only get that revelation. I can only get that in that sweet moment with You, in that presence with You, when You come and You just say the words. Because, again, you know, we can encourage and we call to encourage one another and bring words to one another. But I'd rather choose to hear that from God than from a human being. And yes, God uses us to preach the word and to encourage one another. I promise you, when I heard something in my spirit, and I know that I heard His voice, that's 1,000 times more powerful than any human being coming to me and say, you know, God said, or this way. Because when His sheep hear His voice, John 10, you know His voice, you hear His voice, you recognize His voice. That is a sweet voice speaking unto your spirit and just saying, or bringing His love letter to you. There is safety in His presence. Genesis 4:16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And then we read also in verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than what I can bear. Cain realized that is, if he's outside God's presence, that is a big punishment. That is an emptiness. Friends, that's why hell is such a dark place. Why? Not because we're burning there, people will burn there, and we know about the demons, we know about all these things. It's about the emptiness, because God's presence is not there. As we're sitting here, we might or we might not experience His manifesting presence, but yet we still experience His almighty presence. You don't even know that right now as you're sitting here. your spirit is tuned in at this moment, there's a kind of peace. I know it probably wouldn't make sense to you right now that you have, because God's almighty presence is here. The moment God will withdraw that, that will become such a lonely and empty place that you will know that He's not there anymore. And that's why sinning against the Holy Spirit is the kind of unpardonable sin. When God comes in such a way that you cannot deny Him and you resist Him, and when He withdraws, it's impossible. Listen to this. It's impossible to come back to God when His Spirit withdraws. Because we can only come when He calls and He convicts us. We do not come to God on our terms. And I found Jesus. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. His Spirit drew me, or draw me. It's His Spirit that convicts. It's His Spirit that counsels. In that moment of His presence, His Spirit comes. When we're in the presence of God, there's boundaries. Psalm 16, verse 6 says, the lions have fallen in pleasant places for me. And the boundaries is there for us to protect us. The world will tell you, my friend, Christianity is full of rules and regulations. And a must, and what you should do and you shouldn't do. And it's just the opposite of what the Word says. There's freedom in God. Freedom within these boundaries. Because God knows what outside this boundary, there's not life. The world will ask you or tell you or paint a picture, there's life. There's an abundance of life. But the Word says, there's only abundance of life inside these boundaries. And we can try those perimeters. We know with children as well, we have our perimeters and our boundaries for our children. But as a parent, you know why you have those boundaries. Because you know, outside that boundary, my child might get hurt. And many times we test the boundaries, like they say when you do the parenting courses. And we want to jump over the fence and go and try the grass on the other side. But he misses meer daikant. That's why, hey, the grass is greener. But inside the will of God, inside His presence, there's safety. Like with Job and his family. I pray that over my family. Word says that the Lord drew a hedge of protection around Job and his family. We recently personally experienced something like that. I'm not going to go into that, but I can testify this morning that God is gracious, that the enemy wants to steal daily. And if we move outside that boundary of His presence, wherever God called you, or whatever He called you to, it's a dangerous place where I don't want to be. I want to be in the presence of God where I know, God, You are my shield. You train my hands for war, my fingers for battle. I can fight with You on my side. It's not going to be always easy. We're still going into a battle. The battle hasn't changed yet. We know the end of that. We know when we read Revelation, that's the nice thing about a Christian. We know the end of the story. Might be boring for some of us, but actually, it's good news. If we continue to pursue Him, we will win the war. Fourthly, there's counsel in His presence. And the Bible, Jesus comes and He says to His disciples when He leaves, one of those most beautiful chapters in the Bible, John 14 to John 16, when Jesus is kind of talking to him, some of His last words, when He's saying to them, you know, when I'm going away, don't be sad. I know You had me with You, but there's someone coming that's greater than others. Someone that's coming that's going to be more beneficial to you. Because now I can only be here in person to you, but I'm sending you somebody else. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they had to go to the prophets, the kings, if they had to counsel, to get counsel, to get direction. And only the prophets were the ones that got direction from God in a certain way. Now we have it with us, in us. But it's up to us whether we're going to ask Him or know Him or seek His advice. And so, Lord, what should I do now? I promise you, my friend, that if we seek Him honestly with a heart that says, Lord, I really want to know Your will. I really want to know, should I do this in this relationship or not? Should I enter into this job or not? Should I take this opportunity or not? That God will answer you. if you pursue Him with a heart that's really seeking Him. He's not called the counselor for nothing. Do you honestly think that we can, and there's consequences for our decisions, but if we seek Him, say, God, my prayer is to seek and to know your ways. Show me your ways, that God would not honor His word and be the counselor. John 14 verse 26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then there's holiness in God's presence. Adam and Eve, the moment they sinned, what did they do? They ran away from God because they knew, if I really allow or I'm entering into God's presence, I cannot hide things. I know we tell ourselves those things. We hide that from God. We don't talk to God honestly about it. God would say, and He'd put His finger on something, listen, can we just talk about that? Or what about that? And we like, we don't talk about that. And God is just there to help us with that. He just wants us to deal with that. He's not there to shame you and me, to say, listen, I see you struggling with that. I'm gonna shame you out there in the world. I'm here to help you. I want an honest moment with you. I want you just to look me in the eyes, as with Peter. Look me into the eyes. Because when you look into my eyes, you will see that I'm communicating something different to you. I'm communicating love to you. Something that the world cannot express. Something that the world cannot give you. It's in those moments when we enter into the presence of God, instead of running away from Him, that He comes to restore us, to heal us from the brokenness and from what sin has done in our lives. And the last one that I want to highlight this morning, when we get into the presence of God, we receive that Rhema word, that precious word, that people sometimes wonder, how did you get to that? Wow, where did you get that truth? No, it's not because I'm clever or whoever it might be. It's not because I'm sitting and thinking, what should I say? So I wasn't that moment God just spoke wisdom. I remember John Bevere once said that. He sometimes writes his book and then he jumps up and down and he's excited about what he just wrote about the wisdom. And he says in all humility, he says he's not excited about the wisdom he just penned down there. He's excited because he knows who's the author of that. God just chose him to be the vessel just to write it down. And we can be excited about those kind of words that God gives us. Not so that we become lifted up and look at all my revelation that I've got. And that's not why we get that. So that God can use that in the world. Make God use you this year, 2013, when we seek Him in that way. May it be your prayer this year as we enter in 2013. So Lord, I'm not content with just walking. I want your presence. Lord, help me that I will not, like with Joseph and Mary, going one day's journey ahead, supposing that you are with me, but somewhere I've lost you. Because you know what? And listen to me this morning. It took them one day to lose His presence. The Bible says they went one day's journey and they lost Him, supposing. But it took them 3 days. Sometimes when we lose Him along the way, that's the times when we make this silly, stupid decisions. We go off and we just go according to what I know from the Word, my experience, my knowledge. And that's where we sometimes make mistakes. And it's sometimes hard. I'm not trying to discourage you this morning. I'm just trying to say to you that we need to walk with Him closely. Pursue that relationship. His presence. Not an empty form of religion. That's not why Jesus is here this morning. That's not the first place why we celebrate, we don't celebrate Christmas. It's about that personal relationship. And personal means a day-to-day experience with you. If you had that kind of marriage where you haven't that intimacy, God wants intimacy with you on a daily basis. Daily when you get up, oh Lord, it's good to be alive. Thank you. Talk to Him daily in your car, wherever you go. I promise you, He is so faithful. He is so faithful. He is more faithful. Recently, the Lord said to me, Yaku, I'm more faithful than you. I struggled. It wasn't something big. You know, I was in tears. I said, God, you are. Even when I feel weak, you say to me, I'm more faithful. You know, that moment when God spoke that to me, it gave me strength just to pick up and say, Lord, I can. Because you are faithful. And I'll commit to that because you are faithful. God is faithful this morning to walk with you. He's faithful to draw near to you. James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near unto you. Amen. Let's close our eyes. I don't want to send you home this morning without you having a hunger or either experience God, His presence this morning. And my prayer is as we're closing in this song, can we maybe sing that song, Amazed? That you just allow His Spirit to flood you this morning with His presence. Let's just keep our eyes closed for a moment. Because it's my prayer this morning that you will experience Him. It's not my sermon that changed you this morning. It's His presence that's changing you. That moment you enter into His presence, you can write this date down forever and know, God, that day you had an appointment with me. You just spoke something. Maybe you didn't say something. I was just there and I knew you were there and I just felt you. It's that kind of presence when the dictionary says that is so obvious, you cannot deny that. You know that He was here. And I pray this morning, I've been praying this week, God, give us that kind of presence on Sunday. So that when we come, we will know, we will become hungry for that kind of presence. When you come, you manifest yourself to us. You introduce yourself maybe this morning as to many of us as a counselor. To some of us, maybe, Lord, you're communicating yourself as the Father, a loving Father. To some of us that's never experienced Him in that way. And God is saying this morning, I want to express myself as a loving Father this morning. There was a shortage in the way you were bringing up. And maybe you didn't have that. And God's saying, I'm going to restore that this morning. When I enter with my presence this morning, I want to restore that this morning. Or maybe you saw me as the strict judge that's just there with a lot of rules and regulations and very restrictive. But God says this morning, I'm also a Father. God, may we experience you with that. Let's all stand and we're going to sing that song in closing.